episode 219 of Magic the Amateuring. If our show was a teenager, it would be a 200-year-old teenager.
That's right, which would make it some sort of either undead teenager, mm-hmm. say a vampire, potentially a zombie, although in that case, mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, I don't know how great of shape they would be in.
No.
Do you think that there's longevity, like, is there a lifespan on a zombie because they're decaying?
I've thought about this before.
Like, eventually they just fall apart, right? Because yes. all their stuff is still gross and dead.
They may be flesh eating, but their flesh is also being eaten.
Yeah, it's just like a typical decay situation.
Correct.
There's nothing about it that preserves them.
No.
So they've got a, like, zombies have a death span.
That is got to be the greatest term that science has not yet been able to use. What is your death span?
Yeah, like, how long before, you know, they're just like,
if I ever have an incurable disease, I hope the doctor comes into the room, is like, doesn't tell me you've got X number of months to live, but says your death span is going to be 6 months.
That doctor would get so many different malpractice suits. Like, just for causing distress.
Yeah.
Exclusively for distressing people.
Did I tell you what happened when I had a kidney stone?
I know the story. Oh, but do okay. the listeners know the story?
They probably don't. So I had a kidney stone. Before we talk magic, let's talk pain. And
one and the same, friend. One and the same.
Sometimes, indeed. And I went to the hospital, to the emergency room, and I had to be checked in overnight. And one of the nurses on duty at the hospital looked at me and was going through a questionnaire that they have to ask everybody who's admitted, I'm sure. Do you want to see the clergyman? And, like, of course, that is not a question you want to hear when you're laying in a hospital bed, no matter, even though you know having a kidney stone is not going to kill me. But I was just like, no. And he goes, yeah, that's what I thought. And I was like, all right, buddy, just because I have a dragon tattoo, where do you get off?
Thinking that yeah, you know all about me.
Oof, I was so salty.
Did you look him dead in the eye and just say, I'm not dying today, asshole? Like, that's what I would have done in that situation.
I don't think I had it in me to give anyone the death stare.
You were out of it on drugs.
I heard my mom said that she, however, like, stared him down and went to, like, find, I don't know, the manager is not a word that applies in this situation.
But like the head nurse.
Had the head nurse, yes, indeed, at, like, 3 a.m. Anyway, fun backstory. We could do that on one of our extra special patron specials, hospital trips.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one, actually. Well, I've already burned my best one, but I'm sure I can dredge up another memory if I think about it.
Man, I had a thought while you were telling that story, but now I don't remember what it is.
About you going to the hospital?
I don't think so. What was it about?
Hospitals in general.
Hospitals.
Head nurses.
Nurses.
Stones of some sort.
Clergy?
I don't know.
Me neither.
It'll come to you by the end of the show. If not, tweet at Megan what she's thinking about.
Since everyone knew what movie I was thinking of last week.
Yes. Well
while
done.
While you were sleeping.
While you were sleeping.
Thank you to everyone who let us know the movie while we were trying to figure it out.
Oh,
it was,
man.
Great. If you know what my train of thought was inspired by that story, please tweet at me. Let me know the title of that train of thought.
Anyways. I'm Maria.
And I'm Megan.
And we're here to talk some magic at your faces or your ears. And on today's episode, we've got a lot of great stuff, including we were just at GP San Antonio.
That's right. It was a Team Modern event. So we'll tell you all about the decks that we played, the decks that we saw, the decks that won. Hint, they weren't ours.
They were not our decks.
They were not our
oh,
decks.
Oh, boy.
Then we'll talk a little bit about For the Noobs, targeting players.
We also have some Amonkhet preview cards. Some sweet stuff has been spoiled, including some of the gods.
Ooh.
And we've got a brand new flavor tuxedo for you as well. But before we do that, of course, we have to say thank you to the people who carry us on their proverbial shoulders down the streets.
That's right. I was going to say backs because I feel like I weigh more than is like... I weigh more than a, you know, like a sitting on someone's shoulders. I think I'm a full piggyback situation.
I was imagining us like in little, those fancy little carriages.
What?
But that's really not accurate.
No, it's really not.
I was in a play once where I was carried around in one of those for the whole play.
What's it called? What are those called?
Oh,
they're called something. Me.
They are called something.
If you know what those chairs are called, tweet at us at MTAcast.
It's not going to be called Kibler Google before long.
And tell us exactly what those chairs are called that we're thinking of.
But who we're talking about is, of course, you, yes. The listeners, the patrons who have joined up our Less Than 1% family on patreon.com/MTAcast. We have a wonderful fan base of supporters, and every month we welcome new people into our fold, and it's so wonderful to see people who, you know, if you get anything out of the show, basically throughout the month, if it's something you look forward to, if it's something like, oh, this will be fun, I listen to it on my drive to work, or I listen to it while I go for a walk, or on my train ride, or whatever...
It's called a litter.
Yes, a litter.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody who already tweeted.
Thank you so much. We were in the middle of thanking people, which is so important because you really do make the show possible, and it really does mean the world to us. So if you are at all able to throw as little as a dollar an episode our way, Patreon.com/MTAcast, and you get some sick prizes or rewards depending on what level you contribute at.
Yeah, magnets or, you know, potentially chats in our Discord. Just kidding. Ooh, that's not right. Potential. That's everybody.
That's a real thing. That's a real thing for everybody. Thank you as well to our sponsor, Card Kingdom, cardkingdom.com/MTAcast. I got so many modern cards that I needed, and I didn't think to order them until the Tuesday before the tournament, and they arrived in time.
Yeah.
It was amazing and perfect. I put in my order on Tuesday. It got to my house on Friday. It was perfect.
And we opened their Sweet Fool's Gold for April Fool's Day, which is a promotion you can look out for next year. Put it on your calendar now!
That's right. We got some signed Resto Angels.
It was awesome.
It was really baller.
So do you ever do that? Do you ever put something on your calendar that's like a year out?
No.
Because sometimes I do, and then when I get to it, I'm like, wow, past me, you really did it.
Maria, April Fool's Day is always on the calendar.
I guess I was thinking about, like I put in there, oh, we have to renew our business LLC in 2017.
I mean, that's smart. Good job.
But yes, April Fool's Day is always April 1st, lest we not forget it.
And I think no matter what kind of calendar you purchase, it's written into it.
Yeah.
If you still are like me, and you live in the 1990s and purchase a paper calendar every year.
Hey, look, man, a paper calendar got me through college.
I mean, they're great. I literally wouldn't know where to go at what times. There are days that I look at and I'm like, I know that I was supposed to write something in this day and I don't remember what it is. And I have no idea where I'm supposed to be. Anyway,
calendars.
Thank you so much to cardkingdom.com. Head on over there if you too are in need of standard cards, modern cards, of EDH and commander cards, of boosters, you know, any way you want to play the game, they'll help you do it.
For the noobs, targeting players.
Hey, sometimes there are spells that let you be mean to somebody in specific.
Yeah.
And those are spells that let you target an opponent or a player. So, for instance, Lightning Bolt, you can deal 3 damage to target creature or player. That's an instance of targeting a player.
Yes.
Lightning Bolt and other burn spells like that are interesting because, obviously, they have two different places that you could point it. You could point it at a creature or you could point it at someone's face.
Just like I have two different places I can point my finger.
Yeah.
At you or at yourself. Me. That's it.
Those are the only two places you're allowed to point.
I mean, let's just be like, if Maria, we're rounding it
Maria,
off.
Maria, where's the computer?
Right here. Oh, I thought you meant my amazing brain.
Maria, where's downstairs? Maria, where's upstairs?
Right there.
All right. I mean, you figured out that system.
I did it.
Where's the window?
To my soul.
Oh, God damn it. I'm trying to... Maria.
What?
Where is the notebook that I'm holding up?
Okay, you got me. I can't point to it.
All right. Good.
Okay. You saw our show notes if you're watching on YouTube. They're really... Look at Megan's handwriting. Oh no, not God, that
this
page.
This is the blank side.
Oh, there they are. Screen cap it. Post it on Twitter.
You're right. Oh, my God. Look at these show notes. Scandalous.
Scandal.
But then, obviously, there are spells that can only target players.
Yes.
And that is something like the classic
Thoughtseize. So this is a card that, you know, I saw a lot of this past weekend, and which wrecked me on many occasions.
Inquisition of Kozilek, which is like smaller Thoughtseize.
Yes.
So Thoughtseize says, target player reveals his or her hand. You choose a non-land card from it. That player discards that card. You lose 2 life.
Yep.
So these are the same as, like, if you're playing in, obviously, like, a two-person game. Interestingly, you can't target yourself if it says target player. If it says target opponent, guess what? You can't.
Right.
Obviously. I don't care how many internal struggles you're having in Magic, you cannot target yourself if it says target opponent. But if it says target player, for instance, if you were playing, like, a graveyard deck where you needed to get a card in your hand into your graveyard, like a sweet Griselbrand, so that you could reanimate it. You could Thoughtseize yourself and then put that Griselbrand and be like, discard this one, put it in the graveyard.
I like the flavor of reaching into your own brain and pulling out something.
That's right. I dreamed up this demon.
So this is also true of some planeswalkers.
Yes.
So most notably, this is one that, you know, haunts my nightmares, Liliana of the Veil.
Yep.
Who has an ability that causes you to sacrifice a creature. And that is, that's interesting. Like, that's an ability that's a little, like, it's not, maybe not, doesn't seem as straightforward as a Lightning Bolt or a Thoughtseize, but it is, in fact, targeting the player and not the creature itself. So, like, you have to do it. So, Hexproof, in this case, I'm referring to my lovely foiled up Boggle, does not get around Liliana's ability.
Yeah. And let's see, what does Liliana say, actually?
Yeah, let's look it up and read her out, because this is a concept for a newer player where you target the player and not the creatures itself that I think is a little difficult to get. So that's why we wanted to talk about it.
Well, I was going
to
say, interestingly, so Liliana of the Veil says target player sacrifices a creature.
Right.
So if your opponent had out, and this we're about to talk about this, if for some reason you could not target your opponent, don't minus two this Liliana.
Right.
Because guess who's left?
Just you.
It's you.
Just you.
The person left is you. But she has a +1 that says each player discards a card.
Right.
Obviously, that gets around an effect that says that you can't target a player.
Sure.
So cards that might protect you from this sort of effect are most notably Leyline of... Which one is it? Sanctity?
Yes.
Leyline of Sanctity, which is from the Leyline cycle.
Yeah.
Which is, we show these cards that, you know, protect you from various things. And if it's in your opening hand, you can just get it out onto the battlefield instead of casting it for its cost.
Leyline of Sanctity gives you Hexproof. So you, as in you yourself, the person, the player, not your little dudes or dudettes.
Yeah. So it says, if Leyline of Sanctity is in your opening hand, you may begin the game with it on the battlefield. You have Hexproof.
Right.
There was also, you remember back in the Theros block, there was the Aegis of something that gave you Hexproof also. It was a creature that did essentially this same thing, which is pretty sweet. So obviously, this Leyline says you can't be targeted.
Yeah.
You can't be targeted by a Lightning Bolt. You can't be targeted by a Liliana of the Veil. You can't be targeted by a Thoughtseize, which makes this obviously a super powerful modern card because there is so much discard running around.
Yeah, there was... we're going to get to it, but it was brutal. There was so much. And I did expect it. But my ley lines, you know, there's only 4 of them. And you don't play a ley line, even though I did a couple times. Probably lost those games. But your hope when you put ley lines into your deck is that it is in your opening hand.
Yep. And you can just get it out there.
And be like,
begin the game with it on the battlefield. And then your opponent has all of their discard spells in hand. And you're like, suck it.
Yep.
Which is pretty... great. I have to sneeze.
Okay. Good job.
Thank you.
So I have a question about a card like Wrath of God, for instance.
Yes.
Which just says destroy all creatures.
Correct.
So that's not a spell that's targeting you or the creatures on the board.
Correct.
So it's just happening.
Yes.
Okay.
You cannot stop Wrath of God unless you counter it.
That seems right.
Yeah. Yeah. Flavorfully, correct.
Yes.
So this also leads us, though, into that there are spells that can make your opponents do things or can do things to your opponents that can't be prevented by an effect like Leyline of Sanctity, because they say something like, each opponent. So one of the ones that's in standard right now that everyone might know is Saheeli Rai.
Ah, yes. Saheeli herself.
She says, plus one, scry one, Saheeli Rai deals one damage to each opponent. So that says, I don't care if you've got, if you've as a player have hexproof, it's just happening to you. It's just
everybody.
It doesn't target, so it doesn't matter. It's the same as like if a creature has hexproof, sure. But wrath, someone casts a Wrath of God, that creature's going to die anyways.
Right. Or Anger of the Gods. It gives them, you know, minus, what is it? Minus two to three?
It deals three damage to everything.
So like.
So it's just going to happen.
It's just no targeting. If no targeting is involved, so things just go away.
Exactly.
This is interesting. I hadn't even thought about that. The fact that this does not, that this gets around something like Leyline.
Yeah. And I mean, this is also usually maybe more important in games of Commander or EDH as well, where you have multiple players.
Yeah.
Saheeli Rai is doing a sweet job of just being like, everybody.
Ping, ping, ping.
One that comes up in my life more often than yours.
Yes.
Is,
I'm trying to think now, how many times have I cast a cryptic command? It's gotta be like two.
Oh my God. I've cast so many cryptic commands in my life. Not enough yet. Not enough.
It's never enough.
But like, I've cast a lot. It says, choose two, counter target spell, return target permanent to its owner's hand, tap all creatures your opponents control, or draw a card. So that, again, that gets around being like, hey, yeah. You.
It's just like, it's tap just like all the creatures.
Everybody, they're gone.
Tippity tap them. Okay. No targeting necessary. Just do it.
Yeah. Pretty sweet. If you are a person who plays Modern, some cards that you might want to think about that target people, like, you're usually going to bring it in against Storm anyways. Usually they'll have an Echoing Truth to try and bounce it once they're going off and they need to target with a Grape Shot, or they might just have, like, Empty the Warrens to make a million goblins. But a lot of Storm decks right now are playing Gifts Ungiven, which helps them find the cards that they need. And this is an instant for 3 and a blue. It says, search your library for up to 4 cards with different names and reveal them. Target opponent chooses 2 of those cards. Put the chosen cards into your graveyard and the rest into your hand, then shuffle your library. That, you know.
Yeah, target.
It says target opponent. So you can't, they cast this and they can't make you pick the card.
Is it just like it doesn't happen, or like they like just can't make you?
So that is a great question.
Yeah.
The answer is they just can't cast it.
They can't even cast it.
Because it's a spell that targets.
That's like, so interesting.
As they're trying to cast it, it says, I need a target in order for you to cast the spell. And it's like, well, there's no target opponent that you can target with. It's all like,
basically,
too bad, sucker.
I'm invisible.
Exactly.
I'm like a ghost host.
So that's a... Oh, hey, ghost host.
Yeah. So funny.
Oh, and a great point.
And a great point.
So those are just like, you know, always think about different cards. And this, obviously, like we said, this is kind of a strange effect.
I don't know that we've ever
really talked about it before, because it definitely comes up more in older cards.
Yes.
Because a lot of newer stuff says each opponent.
Yeah.
Because they're making them playable cards for a commander and playable cards for EDH. But obviously, sometimes there's still like Thoughtseize got reprinted back in Theros.
Yep.
Or you might play a format like Modern where you're going to see these targeting spells and you might see these effects that give a player hexproof.
There's actually a card that's similar that's been printed in Amonkhet this time around, which is something like it's a heart. Somebody's ripping out a heart. Hold on, let me find it.
It's
pretty cool. There it is. Oh, it's in. Don't worry. It's in Russian.
Oh boy. What art?
Yeah, the art is pretty cool. Lay bare the heart. One black sorcery. Target opponent reveals his or her hand. You choose a non-legendary, which is interesting, non-land card from it. That player discards that card.
Wow.
So just like anything.
Yeah.
As long as it's non-legendary.
Yeah. Impressive.
Cost 2, but you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's
powerful
another
effect.
Kind of interesting, similar effect.
Yeah. Ooh, with some creepy art.
Yeah. It's like, that's not heart-shaped where that's coming out of.
No, it's like a key.
Cool.
It's like a key shape.
So yeah, targeting. I don't think we ever have talked about it. But it's an important thing to know, especially going into formats like Modern, like Megan mentioned. And
knowing when you can and you can't be targeted. There you go.
The more you know. Let's talk about Modern.
Let's.
GP San Antonio.
We were there.
The judges were there in their tiny little Texas hats.
That's right. No. Did you see a tiny hat in Texas?
The hats the judges had. So the judges all were, it was adorable, all had cowboy hats, but they were not like large cowboy hats. They were probably child, you know, medium child size cowboy hats.
What? I did not see this.
Did you?
No.
It was on day two that they were wearing them.
That's pretty amazing.
It was really, really cute. But yeah, anyway, not as many cowboy hats as I expected, generally. We were even sharing the convention center with a cattle rustling competition or something like that. So I expected more cowboy hats, but maybe I just, you know, wasn't in the right spot at the right time. Definitely saw a lot of cowboy boots. Which, the fashion...
Which is good practical footwear. You
know, just wear them. They look good with the dress. They look good out in the mud. Cowboy boots.
They look good with jeans.
.com. Probably website. They do not sponsor the show.
Wait, cowboyboots.com?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Maria, while I'm looking up more about cowboyboots.com, tell us about your weekend.
So, yeah, we were teamed up. The Gnarled Pack rode again, which is Athena, Megan, and I. Athena is Elantris on Twitter, and she helps out with the Vintage Super League, producing that kind of stuff with Randy Bueller, and is a great teammate. And we had three spicy decks. We talked about it a lot. Everybody knew that I was going to play Boggles. Megan was playing Taking Turns. Boggles and Taking Turns, pretty notoriously, kind of a little bit of a trolley deck situation there. And Athena chose a real deck. Which was Through the Breach, Emrakul.
No, Titan.
Primeval Titan. It did have Emrakul in it, but yeah, the Titan is important part. And her deck turned out to be very good. She had the best record of us, and yeah, it was a cool deck. And my deck fared the poorest of the bunch and did miserably. I only managed to win one match the whole day. The whole day!
That's rough.
It was
That's pretty rough.
Really bad. So I was quite surprised by that. I didn't think Boggles was going to go the distance, but I didn't think it was going to fall into a puddle and just drown itself, which is kind of what happened.
That's what a 1-6 record is probably. Yeah. That's the equivalent.
So we started the day off. I think we won our first round.
We did win our first round.
We lost our second. We won our third.
Yep.
And then we lost
a
bunch.
Pretty big roller coaster.
It was.
No, because we got up to, we were three and two. We like won, we lost, we won. We lost, we won.
Yeah.
We lost.
Yeah.
You know. It goes to Shepler's, which is, in fact, a cowboy boot seller.
Sweet.
So here we go. Their entire site is on sale right now, you guys. So
go get them boots!
Yeah, exactly. Oh, only 2 hours and 4 minutes left. This will be done by the time
Oh, clearance. There's a clearance
section, so go check those out.
Call us Shepler's.
Hold on, Maria. I'm going to look at these women's clearance boots.
All right, I'll keep talking.
Tell us about some of the cards that you faced, some of the matchups that you thought were tough, some of the ones that you thought were interesting.
Sure. So I went into the weekend thinking that Merfolk was a particularly good matchup for me, which it had been previously on Magic Online, but it turned out to I had some very bad games where I lost pretty poorly against Merfolk players thanks to Spreading Seas that I couldn't deal with, which may or may not have been my fault for blowing up at one point one of their Aether Vials, which I should have just let happen. I faced some Grixis control. Sometimes it's hard for me to even remember. I played an Elves player. That matchup, I destroyed that player, but I don't think they had a very good draw. That was the round that I won. I think it was Elves. Anyway, yeah, so it was a variety of decks, but I did face quite a fair number of Thoughtseizes and Inquisitions of Kozilek, which is pretty hard for Boggles to deal with if your opening hand only has one little Bog or only one enchantment and then like several Daybreak Cornets. There was one point Megan looked over at my hand and I was holding 3 Daybreak Cornets, but I couldn't play them because I didn't have any enchantments to go on my creature first.
Rough.
Oh, it was so rough. So I'm, to wrap it up, I, of course, had a lot of fun playing, but I was really disappointed in how the deck/I turned out. There was a player who was playing Boggles, who was doing better, named Dan Ward, the giant of the Magic community. I call him because he's very tall. And it's really funny to me that he's playing Boggles because it's kind of like, oh, this silly little deck with all these enchantments. But
just a bunch of little 1/1s.
He did all right with it. So yeah. There's that. However, I did tell when I told people what I was playing, they were saying, oh, I thought it was going to be good because there's so many fatal pushes, which, you know, there are
a lot of fatal pushes.
But there's also, what is it? Blessed Alliance, which exists, which forces you to sacrifice a creature. And anything that forces you to sacrifice a creature is really, really, really bad for Boggles because you don't have a lot. It's also
sacrifice an attacking creature.
Yes, correct.
So even if you have, like, you are able to go fetch a Dryad Arbor, it's not going to do anything because it's not attacking.
Doesn't count.
Rough.
So yeah, Boggles had a rough time of it.
I'm sorry.
R.I.P. So if we were playing Modern again, like, I still love the deck and I really hope that it can be competitive again. But I guess, you know, I'm not feeling it right now. I'd probably play something like, you know, equally like aggressive, like Merfolk or something. I'm not sure.
Maria.
But
Merfolk is worse. Elves.
Okay.
Hot take, everybody.
Fine, elves. Elves. Which apparently is the best Death Shadow Mitch.
Everybody is going to message me with hate mail about what I just said about Merfolk.
I think you've said it before.
I can deal with it.
How was
maybe in the privacy of my own home. Only I've gone public with that information. Here we are.
How was your Modern weekend, Megan?
You know what? It was a little more uneven. I didn't finish some matches because Maria and Athena would both finish with the same record before I did.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, about how it goes.
Yeah.
I would say that, like, There were a couple of games that I was, like, very, very, like, satisfied with my play. Not very satisfied, but satisfied with my play.
That's good.
There was one when, there was one where I punted twice. So hard.
I definitely punted this weekend.
In a single game where I was playing against a Merfolk player. And I was looking at a hand that had, some lands, a Serum Vision, some other stuff, and a Spell Pierce. And I put in the Spell Pierce for Aether Vial. And it's great to have it in your opening hand. And I want to play. And I play my island, and I cast my Serum Visions for some reason.
Oh, yeah. You were just on kind of autopilot, probably.
And the thing is that I try so hard to not play on autopilot that to be caught off guard in a moment where I do it and it matters so much was just sort of like, it was, you know, it's one of those moments where you just feel really terrible about it.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like, oh, God, I try so hard not to make this mistake, and I just made it, and it turns out to be totally crucial because he had an Aether Vial, and he played it on turn one, and then he was stuck on one land for multiple turns. So if I had been able to spell pierce that Aether Vial, I think, like, I would have been 80 to 90% to win that game because he wouldn't have done anything until it didn't matter anymore. I would have been too far ahead.
Let me tell you this. Somebody played a Spell Pierce against me when I didn't have another land in play, but I hadn't played my land for the turn. Mm-hmm. So, quite bad. Like, I feel that these things happen more often when you're not used to playing a certain format in human person. Mm-hmm. I think I just felt more mistake prone because not that I even wasn't familiar with the deck but it's just playing online and playing in person were so different. It felt so different to me.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, I've talked before, like, I still get super anxious in round one.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily this time, you know, it didn't matter. It was a really good matchup for me in round one and I ended up winning it. But it was still just sort of like, oh my God, like, calm down. I would never feel this way playing online. But I was just so amped up.
Did you, what helped you through the day? Just
playing some Magic.
Yeah.
Losing a round.
Yeah.
Really helps. Like,
okay.
It's like, all right, I lost that one.
It does actually.
Now we can, move on with our lives.
Now we can, okay, we lost one. Good. Let's relax a little bit.
All right. And we're done.
We made some jokes about what was it called where you play in the loser's bracket on purpose.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Someone was telling me.
It was like a chess term.
It's a chess term for when you, it's the Swiss gambit.
That's it.
They called it it's the Swiss gambit when you lose early and then win out.
The Swiss gambit, also a popular chocolate bar in Sweden. It sounds like one.
But overall, I had so much fun. I loved playing Modern. I really like Modern as a format. I think it's a fantastic format. I just have a great time playing it. You so infrequently play the same deck twice.
Yeah. Yeah, you really do.
You play so many different decks. And that's not even just talking about the Team Unified Modern where people are forced to diversify. Like in when I went to GPDFW back in Dallas-Fort Worth back in November. It was the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, you play so many different decks, and it's so great.
It was so great. Cool. And I loved my deck. I loved being able to have a deck that I felt like such ownership over because I had put so much like work into it, making it really pretty. And it, like, that sounds so superficial and dumb, but like it gave me some kind of like connection to it, more than just, I really like these cards, but like I put time and effort into making this thing like kind of exemplify how I feel about it. And the fact that it didn't perform was pretty disappointing.
So now you're going to like dunk it all in toilet water?
Yeah, I flushed all of the cards.
To exemplify how you feel about it now.
I flushed them. My beautiful unhinged foil plains and forest down in the sewer.
You were like, sorry, you just didn't do your job.
Yeah, so I don't know what I'm like. I feel kind of sad about it, if you couldn't tell. But like, we'll see what happens.
Maria, there's so many more aggro decks in Modern out there for you.
You're right.
There's
so
many ways to dip your toe into the water.
But here's the thing. Like, I still believe Boggles is a very good deck for a beginner to play at a Modern event if you just really want to get your toe in the water. Mm-hmm. And the good thing about it, too, is it's actually not expensive as far as Modern decks go. And the cards that are expensive retain their value, so you can trade them for whatever you need for your next deck.
Yeah. I do not recommend taking turns for a new Modern player. Mm-mm. But if you are a person who really likes to just see your opponent's faces just kind of slowly get glummer and glummer as they realize what's happening, or to hear multiple people say, I don't know how to play against this.
What do I do?
How do I do this? And their teammates just to go, I don't know.
And it was that was pretty good, especially when they were like, oh, I know what this is. It's turns.
Yeah.
That was a joy.
So great. So if you really like to just stick a dagger in them and turn it, then turns is for you.
One of our friends took the whole thing down, Megan.
That's right. Greg Orange.
Minneapolis represent Citrus Assassin.
Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota.
Minnesota represent. But yeah, so his team, which was him, Adam Jansen, and Andres Prost, took down the whole thing with Greg Orange piloting white-blue control.
That seems like something you'd want to play.
Yeah, Adam Jansen playing Jund.
Okay.
And Andres playing Andre playing Affinity.
Affinity. So this was kind of like the top three decks that happened to be in a lot of people's team configurations.
Yeah.
Was Death Shadow of some variant, Affinity, and then some kind of Obzon situation.
Yeah.
I'm just sorry. I'm just looking at Gerard Fabiano's Madcap Moon. What a great name for a deck.
So Gerard Fabiano played a deck that has two of a sorcery from Kaladesh. Madcap Experiment, 3 and a red, sorcery, reveal cards from the top of your library until you reveal an artifact card. Put that card onto the battlefield and the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order. Madcap Experiment deals damage to you equal to the number of cards revealed this way.
Okay, what the heck?
So, it's that, but it's paired with the only artifact that it can hit is... Oh gosh, back!
No!
I didn't mean to click!
Suspense.
Was Platinum Empyrean. So Platinum Empyrean is an 8-mana 8/8 that says your life total can't change.
Oh, that's cool.
So you put it into play and you're just like, all right.
Okay.
Like, come at me.
I took no damage.
Exactly. My experiment is like, I'll deal damage to you, but your life total doesn't change, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, that's so cool.
So besides that, it's kind of a control-y looking deck. And has Snapcasters, Vendilion Clicks, Cryptic Commands, Electrolyze, Is It Charm, Bolts. You know, lots of ways to kill creatures and counter things.
Best deck name award, Madcap Moon. What a great deck name. There's two Blood Moon, which is why it's in there. But yeah. Bant Nightfall.
Yeah, we also saw two different teams in the top four had Bant Nightfall decks, which is pretty crazy. But this deck combos off with Retreat to Coral Helm, which was the landfall enchantment from the most recent Zendikar block, and Knight of the Reliquary.
So this deck I got me on stream at Mead Hall. If you watched, I went to play a Modern event at my local game store, and they had a streaming room. And round one, I played against this deck, and I was like, "What?" You know, after game one, I asked him what the deck was called, and he said Bant Nightfall, and I didn't get the pun. But this deck is brutal. Like, it is. Some cards that can really mess with your life, like Kosali Pride Mage.
Yep, which, that's real bad for you.
makes me sacrifice an artifact or an enchantment.
No, they sacrifice it to destroy a target artifact or enchantment.
And then Knight of the Reliquary just goes off by pitching lands and then attacking you're, like,
getting more billion. And to Coral Helm. It's pretty crazy.
It was really nuts.
Sweet. So yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so that's a cool kind of different deck that I hadn't seen before recently. But congrats to Greg Orange and his team for taking down the GP. I believe what was Peach Garden Oath number 2. Mm-hmm. So
that is correct. And then let's see. And then the other team that was in the top 4 was David Ochoa, Matt Severa, and Andrew Beckstrom.
Matt Severa, friend of the show. Go listen to a Prothering episode with him.
That's right. He was also playing Bant Nightfall.
One of these Megan, Greg Orange is going to have to be on the Prothering.
That's right. He's getting so good.
I know. He's I'm so proud. He's just a great guy, everybody. He's a citrus assassin, but he'll kill you with niceness. Almond Cat Previews!
Hey, everybody. There's some sick cards out there.
That's so true.
It really is. We have seen so many different preview cards come down. Amongst them, like, we have an old, a modern sideboard staple, Avon Mind Sensor.
Yes.
Is coming back, which is pretty cool.
Ooh, boy, do you think he could be in standard, this little burb?
Yeah, I think this burb could totally be in standard, depending on how much searching of libraries is going on.
Yeah, you think you have your delirium, you can go get whatever you want, you're wrong.
We also have, we have our first God preview.
Yay! So there's a lot of speculation if these were going to be like the gods we saw in Theros.
Like enchantments? And the answer is no, sirree. Hazoret the Fervent, 3 and a red for a 5/4 with indestructible and haste. It's pretty intense. Like, yeah, that's some real stats. Power. Hazoret the Fervent can't attack or block unless you have one or fewer cards in hand.
Okay.
So it's still kind of like a gateway, you know, to being able to use it or not. 2 and a red, discard a card. Hazoret deals 2 damage to each opponent.
So the interesting thing with these gods, which I think we're going to be able to see across all of them, is some kind of drawback to their insane cost and stats.
Yes.
And making you meet a certain requirement before you can attack with them. But the thing is, built into them is the ability to achieve that requirement. Yeah. And we are seeing discard be a theme in red through this god and through another card, which was spoiled recently, which gives, what was it, +1/+0 for every time you discard something or you cycle? Yeah. Something
working
like that.
Nicely with our shadows over Innistrad.
Yes.
And our madness mechanics. Oh, pretty man. Cool.
Vampires.
Ooh, but what about Kefnet the Careful?
If I was a god, just one second. That would be like, that is a lame name.
What? The Careful? You don't want to be careful?
I mean, like, I'm like another adjective, please. Like, this god never steps on a Lego. Studious, I think, is fine.
Kefnet the Tiptoeing.
Yeah, I take that, too.
So, anyways, 2 and a blue, legendary creature god, 5/5, flying, indestructible. Wow. Kefnet the Careful can't attack or block unless you have 7 or more cards in hand. I mean, I like having 7 cards in hand, so that works for me. 3 and a blue, draw a card. Then you may return a land you control to its owner's hand. Ooh.
Okay, so this only costs 3.
Yeah.
So getting 7 isn't, you know...
Isn't crazy.
Not totally nuts.
Yeah.
If you draw this late, I mean, I guess you can just draw cards and who cares.
Yeah.
It's just an enchantment that says 4 blue or 3 blue draw card, which is, you know, it's okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. But if you play this on turn 3, like...
Pretty great.
Be afraid. Yeah. Indestructible is real deal on these gods as well, which is what we saw in the gods in Theros. Like, that's something that's a little hard to deal with, I think, but I understand the flavor of making them indestructible as gods. Like, you know, makes sense.
What about the cat snack everyone is talking about?
Yeah.
Prowling Serpopard.
So some people are like, this is the dumbest name Wizards has ever named a card.
It is an interesting.
It's very interesting. But here's the thing. Name. Serpopard was already an established term.
It was?
It was.
Established by whom?
I don't know. People who study Egyptian art. Because
well, like, this is a serpo part.
Yeah.
It's a snake cat.
It is a snake cat. Like, they would draw these things. So it was something. That, they didn't just decide to put Serpent and Leopard together in Serpopard. I mean, somebody did. Somebody did. And it's not elegant, but it wasn't Wizards of the Coast. This card is pretty cool. Previewed by Loading Ready Run. And is that, I mean, would you want to cuddle that Serpopard?
Yes.
4/3. Can't be countered. Creatures you control can't be countered. Okay. That's a good card. One green,
that's
green.
That's a pretty good card.
Question for you, Megan.
Yeah.
What do you think? How do you think its babies happen?
What?
I don't. It's a cat lizard.
So do you, are cat you asking snake. Me if I think it has, if it's like mammalian young or reptilian young?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good, really good question. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with reptilian.
Okay. So they're just like furry little cat snake babies that hatch out of eggs?
Yes.
Yeah, I can see that.
Well, like, that's, like, pretty cute, right?
That's really cute.
Like a little cat snake baby and an egg?
Oh, if only that card is also in this set.
Okay, let me pitch you something.
Okay, hit me.
A cat, but kittens hatch out of eggs.
Yes.
Can you imagine, like, a kitten hatching out of an egg?
Oh, my God! It would be the cutest thing I've ever seen! Have you ever seen a cat give birth?
No, I don't think so.
I have. It's weird.
Yeah.
The miracle of life.
I want to watch that.
The miracle of life.
So a card that I thought is pretty cool. Drakehaven. 2 and a blue enchantment. Whenever you cycle or discard a card, you may pay 1. If you do, create a 2/2 blue Drake creature token with flying.
Talk about build around.
Like, that's pretty sweet, right? Can you imagine drafting a cycling deck with Drakehaven?
I would love to. And it's only cost 3. So yeah. This is going to happen.
Exactly.
Blue red.
Awesome. Love it.
So a card that is probably been talked about, I don't know, maybe the most of ones that I've seen recently is the card Cast Out, which is 3 and a white for an enchantment with flash. When Cast Out enters the battlefield, exile target non-land permanent the opponent controls until Cast Out leaves the battlefield. So this is in effect similar to something like, what am I thinking of?
Like Stasis Snare?
Stasis Snare or Thopter Arrest or whatever.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Which
Banishing Light.
Banishing Light. Those cost 3. This one has cycling for a white.
Oh, yeah, it does. And it costs 4, but it can hit, like, it could hit the gods because they're indestructible.
You're right.
It could hit vehicles because it has flash, so you could cast on your opponent's turn. It can hit planeswalkers because it's a permanent.
Yep.
It hits permanents. So that seems pretty sick, and, like, it definitely has the potential to see some standard play, I think.
I mean, when are you going to cycle this when you're, like, the most desperate that you've ever been in your life?
Yeah, that's true.
You're on a desert island.
Or you never know. Maybe, like, it's cool because if you ended up in, like, a control mirror, maybe you don't need it. You're like, hey, do you know what I need to do?
Goodbye.
I need to see a different card.
Yeah, that card's pretty sweet.
Essence Scatter, 1 and a blue, counter target creature spell.
It's back!
Always my jam.
So go all the way, scroll up to the top for me because I found the card I was thinking of.
Yeah.
So this set deals with -1/-1 counters. And there's a card called Channeler Initiate for 1 and a green for 3/4. What are those stats? Crazy, you're saying.
Crazy.
For Human Druid. When Channeler Initiate enters the battlefield, put 3 -1/-1 counters on target creature you control. Tap. Remove a -1/-1 counter from Channeler Initiate. Add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool.
Ooh.
Yeah, so.
Interesting.
This is a really useful card in that it can create you mana when you need it.
It fixes.
It fixes.
Any color.
And it's active late in the game as well because you can put something. I mean, 3 -1/-1 counters is quite a lot, but it can be a 3/4 for 2. I mean,
Which is pretty great. It can be.
Say you have something that you don't care about anymore. I don't know.
You're like, goodbye,
the
friend.
The situation. Yeah. But I like the fact that this set deals in these counters, and Wizards hasn't done them for a long time. But I think they're kind of cool and really flavorful in that you are taking damage to yourself in order to become better, which is kind of the theme of doing competing in the 5 trials to become worthy.
And there's a lot of creatures, especially you've seen a lot in green so far, that have this sort of idea, like Crocodile of the Crossing, 3 and a green for a 5/4 with haste. My oh my.
Sick.
When it enters the battlefield, put a -1/-1 counter on target creature you control. And only 1.
Yeah.
So you have a 4/3 with haste for 4.
I'll play that all day.
It's a big crocodile.
I ordered -1 dice today.
Of course you did.
I mean, obviously I did. It's definitely something I would do.
Do I look surprised?
I'm a swag, not swag, what do I mean? A periphery queen, and also I would get confused. But probably, there's probably not +1/+1 colors of the set too. That's probably not going to happen. No. Anyway.
But they will run into each other in standard.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to be able to distinguish.
Somebody said just use two different colors of dice, you idiot. And I was like, oh yeah.
Also have a cat that becomes a mummy.
Can we just say we called it because we mummy called cat. It?
Mummy cat.
So this cat is, first of all, adorable.
Great. Great cat.
It's like, what's
so,
up?
So, like, so composed.
Yes. Very, like, it's got its fancy paws on.
I've got it going on and I know it.
Life link. This cat.
Oh, look. And then it, so it has embalm for a white. Exile from your graveyard. Create a token that's a copy, except it's a white zombie cat with no mana cost. Embalm only as a sorcery. And then the token of sacred cat is It's exactly the same, except it's wrapped in, you know, embalming fabric.
This is, like, not true of all the embalmed creatures, by the way. Some are, like, facing a different direction or something.
No, this is exactly the same pose.
Oh, hello. I'm now wrapped in toilet paper. Meow. So this is funny because I want to know if this card is good. Let me say this. We saw a card which was a 1/1 for 1 white with lifelink, which was Train Caracal or whatever in Return to Ravnica.
Nope. Don't play it.
Don't play that card. Do you also hate this card?
I mean, I think yes.
Okay.
Like, unless there's a way. And like, we don't have, like we said, we don't have +1/+1 counters. So it's like, it's only going to be a 1/1.
Yeah.
If this was, and again, like Theros, different story because there were lots of ways to pump up creatures in that. But this is like, it's a 1/1 and you're still putting a 1/1 in a spot in your deck.
What if I told you you could pay white for 2 1/1s with lifelink? Would you pay that?
Yeah, I'd be more likely to.
It's not exactly that, but it's kind of that. Anyway, this card is really interesting to me.
You don't get them at the same time though.
No. No. Installment plan.
Mm-hmm.
Something else interesting that we've seen is the monument set. So we've got every color's kind of deal here with their giant monument to their god, including Oketra, Kevnet, Bontu, Ronas, and Hazoret.
Mm-hmm.
And these kind of give global effects based on their color. So Kitty Cat Monument says, what white creature spells you cast cost one less to cast. Whenever you cast a creature spell, create a 1/1 white warrior creature token with vigilance.
Ooh, that's pretty great. That is
really good.
So they all have that global effect of decreasing creature spells in their color by one. And they also have, so blue, it lets you ice down a creature and it doesn't untap during their next step. The black one says that your opponent loses a life and you gain a life. The green one says a creature you control gets +2/+2 and trample until end of turn.
Cool.
And the red one says whenever you cast a creature spell, you may discard a card if you do draw a card.
These are all really, I think these are all good.
Pretty sweet.
They all cost 3.
Yeah.
That's very a good price.
And I love the art on them. It's so cool. It's so these giant pretty. Monuments of that have the gods' heads on them.
Oh, isn't that beautiful? It's kind of like hazy.
It's real good. It awesome. Looks great. People have also been talking about the rare land cycle.
Yes.
So very, very importantly, these have, so like they have the land types on them. So, the Canyon Slough?
I would say Slough.
Moving on.
Who knows?
Fetid pools?
Fetid.
Fetid pools.
Fetid pools is a hot tub and a
It's a cloth tub hot tub. Okay. It says enters the battlefield tapped, but it is an island swamp, for instance. So these are fetchable. If there were fetches.
They're quite fetching, you might say.
Exactly. But they also have cycling.
Yes.
Isn't that awesome? You can pay 2 to cycle these. That means discard them to draw a card. So if it's late in the game and you draw this land, you're like, no.
No, get out of here. No. Give me a real card. Boom. No flooding.
You can just get rid of it. You can just be like, goodbye.
I'm going to call these bicycle lands because they tap for 2 colors. They cost 2 to cycle and it's cute. Most people will just call them cycle lands and say, Maria, you're dumb.
What? Lots of people have been saying that we're calling them bicycle lands.
Okay.
That's all good. All
right, we'll do it. They're bicycle lands.
Yeah. So those are just a small sample of some of the
smattering
sick cards that have come out in the past week. So get yourself to the internet.
Get ye to the internet.
Get ye to the internet and find what other things have there been posted.
More spoilers yet to come in the days ahead, young ones.
Good lords and ladies, gather ye round on the internet, for I have a tale to tell of the creatures and spells of Amonkhet.
Both Megan and I have yet to reveal our preview cards, which we are keeping safe locked away in our mind palaces at the moment. We should have a Renaissance fair for preview cards.
Yep.
I don't know what that means. Flavortext Theater presents Make It a Plane.
So we have another booster of Modern Masters that we're going to crack. And since these are some of the best cards from a bunch of different planes,
yes,
we're going to crack it open, turn them all face down, and we're going to have to draw three cards at a time and then make up a plane on which those three cards could coexist.
Megan, we are just gunning for a job and creative at Wizards with this one.
Yeah, we are. This is how they invent planes, you know? It's like throwing darts at a dartboard, man.
So these cards are going into, of course, our Patreon giveaway at the end of the month. And, oh, I'll reveal something else now before I forget. We have a shirt here given to us by our sponsor, Carrot Kingdom's Mox Boarding House in Bellevue gave us this shirt.
What?
It's really cute. Sick. Extra large. And we're going to throw it in for one of our new patrons this month.
Awesome. So, and for along with that is a playmat, and that's going to be one of the ones from Grand Prix San Antonio this past weekend.
So beautiful.
Which are the masterpiece swords.
Yeah.
So you'll get a masterpiece sword playmat if you become potentially be entered in that drawing,
yes,
if you become a new patron this month.
Yeah, so consider it.
Pretty great.
Okay.
Pretty great.
Let's take a look at what three that I have.
All right.
Oh, mine's a brutal plane for sure.
Yeah.
So I have Bone Splinters, which as an additional cost to cast it, you have to sack a creature, destroy a target creature, costs one black, madcap skills, one in a red, enchant creature gets +3/+0 and has menace, and Fists of Ironwood, one in a green, enchant creature, when it enters the battlefield, create 2/1/1 green sapling creature tokens, enchanted creature has trample. So this is like fist, skills, splinters.
So can we call your plane Fist Skills?
Fist Skills, and it's a biker gang plane. Where there's a bunch of different rival biker. This is like the Warriors. This is the Warriors plane, essentially.
Sick.
So a bunch of different.
I love that movie.
It's great.
It's great.
Go watch it if you haven't.
It's so good.
A bunch of rival gangs roam this plane. And some of them are biker gangs, you know, probably the black ones because that's the color of their motorcycles.
Yeah.
But definitely one is clown baseball players. It's probably Jess Guy.
Yeah.
and battle each other on the streets of this post-apocalyptic plane universe.
Oh, man. If someone were to, in theory, make a list of the different warrior gangs and assign them color pie colors...
That would be really great.
I would read the heck out of that.
Just saying.
That would be real good.
This would be like a gritty, cool crime plane.
Maria, crime isn't cool.
Yeah, you're right. But they've got to learn that the hard way.
Yeah, they do. Oh, wait, so I'm very hard-pressed to not just create Mirrodin again because it's a plane with Blade Splicer. Sick rare.
Yeah.
Rakdos Signet and Compulsive Research. So basically, it's people, it's people compulsively researching different artifacts, but I'm going to change it up a little bit.
Okay.
I am instead going to say that the Rakdos are in charge on this plane.
Ooh, sick.
And they are forcing a whole bunch of poor researchers to compulsively research for the benefit of the Rakdos.
Oh, okay. So they're just like, and then what are the different color pies? Like the blue is the researchers trying to escape.
Yes, exactly. And the white are like the awoken, like the people who, like the awoken robots, essentially, who are just like, wait a second, you created us, so we want to help you. So they're trying to help them escape.
Holy crap. You just came up with a great concept called the awoken robots. And I just want to take a moment to recognize that because that is awesome.
The awoken.
Like, some robots are like, beep, beep, boop, do my job.
I think it's just another way of saying, like, sentient robots.
Yeah.
Like, they became sentient. But we're calling them the awoken robots.
The awoken
robots
ones.
Now.
That's so great! It's the name of a book!
The awoken robots.
The awoken
All right.
ones.
So this is the awoken robot plane.
Okay. Over here, we've got... Oh, okay. These kind of all come from the same set.
They literally all come from the same
they
set.
They come from Return to Ravnica, Denrova Horror, Sky Knight Legionnaire. Oh, wait, that one doesn't. Dimir Gilgate does, though. So, where, in what universe is this gate, this Denrovahor, and this Legionnaire happening? So, I'm going to make an all-flying plane with these, which is a terrible idea. Don't listen to me. But what's going to happen is that everything is going to have flying on this plane. Because Denrovahor, while it doesn't have flying, I always thought that it did when I played. Because okay, it looks okay. Like it's kind of hovering. So everything is flying. So what's going to have to happen is that some creatures have more flying than others. So it's like Coruscant, which is the city planet in Star Wars. And there's like a whole bunch of different levels of buses and trains and cars, in quotes, whatever they call them, going past each other. So on this plane, it's a city. It's also a city plane, like Coruscant. And there's a bunch. We can use the vehicles mechanic again, and we can get a whole bunch of vehicles flying at different levels, like flying level 2, flying 1, and flying 3. Mm-hmm. This is really complicated. I'm not sure where I'm going.
So you're creating not just ground and sky combat, but ground, sky combat. Yeah,
and middle combat.
Yep. Okay.
Yep.
So I have Spire Monitor, Rootborne Defenses, and Urbis Protector. So this is going to be a plane on which there was once a great war between, like, the flying, like, the cloud level, essentially. Mm-hmm. So we'll say that there's, like, an entire civilization built on the clouds, but then there was also one built on the ground below.
Yeah,
and they were at war for a very long time. But then they were attacked by an outside plane.
Okay.
So they had to unite.
Oh, I love it.
So this is a plane where those two forces were once at odds and they're still working it out.
Yeah.
But they had to unite in order to defend themselves against an external force.
I feel like my three that I have here, Core Hookmaster Foil, by the way, ooh, Eyes in the Skies and Grizzly Spectacle, is telling the story of what happened before they united. So this is our two set block here. So obviously Grizzly Spectacle is shooting down the birds from Eyes in the Skies, the Cloud City, and Core Hookmaster is a fighter on the ground.
Yeah, it's like grappling down birds.
Grappling the birds.
Oh, how are you going to get that bird?
Grapple it.
Yeah, this, so, you know, call us. Call us, creative team.
We think we've got some sick planes for you. Flying levels 1, 2, and 3.
just ignore that one. I don't know. I feel like I was onto something, and then it just really got away from me. But really cool cards here. Like you said, a sweet rare.
Yeah.
Going in for the April drawing. Wow, it's April.
Whoa.
That's really weird to think about.
Get wrecked. May. Wait, March.
Shoot. Well, there you have it, ladies and germ tokens. That's episode 219. No. What month is it? May 3rd. Don't listen to me. It's definitely April. At least it is when we release this. Maybe not when you're listening to it, backlog. That's listener.
Correct.
But yeah, thanks for hanging out again, everybody. And of course, take a moment to visit our sponsor, cardkingdom.com/MTAcast. They're so great and do a lot of great things for the community. People were really interested when we told them about the battle decks that they had on their site. So awesome. Go over there and check them out. Seems like a really cool idea. And of course, thank you again to you, the listeners themselves, who support us on Patreon.com/MTAcast. You literally make the show possible, and your support is invaluable to us every single week.
Until next time, keep your pants on.
That is a long time to keep your pants on. What if I want to take a shower?
Nope. Too bad.
Never nude.
Keep your pants on.